Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now we head to Florida because that's where our good friend John McClain is. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, how are you? How's Florida? What's the chatter about the Astros down there?
I'm in Fort Myers for a quick vacation where we have a place. Carol and I are here, and it's the home of the Red Sox and the Twins. And everybody's talking about the Astros. It's amazing. And I do all my usual talk shows. Everybody talks about the Astros. Nobody has asked me about football. I did 30 minutes on a Baltimore station yesterday about the Astros, nothing about football. And I'll be glad when a combine gets here next week, because it's, to me, along with the draft, the most exciting time of the off season. But it seems like, as you guys know, something pops up every day, like LeBron James weighing in, and so everybody's got to comment. And based on what people think right now, it's like the Astros did not win a game the last three seasons without cheating. And it's pretty amazing, and there's no way you can try to convince them otherwise, because people believe what they hear and what they read, and there's so much misinformation out there. But the bottom line is, they brought it on themselves.
But they did. You know what, though, John? And this is where I'll say, I'm not trying to pile on, you know, fake media or fake news accusations or whatnot. I understand that they brought it on themselves, but I've honestly been a little bit dismayed at how many people in sports media just go ahead and think that that means you have free license to say things about, say, 2019 that are completely unfounded. I don't get that part of it, where you'll come up with all these arguments for why there wasn't that the scheme wasn't working and wasn't there for most of 2018 and 2019. And the response I'll get from people with journalism degrees is, well, they brought it on themselves. I don't get that. How are people justifying that in their brains?
Well, first of all, I asked a guy on the radio from Baltimore yesterday. I said, do you believe Rob Manfred's investigation that they cheated in 2017? He said, well, yes. I said, well, then why do you not believe his investigation that they didn't use buzzers and that they were clean last season? And he goes, well, I don't know. And I'm with you, Seth. I see so many people out there who everything was about Altuve's tattoo, and I didn't see anything on the other part of that that Correa said about Altuve's wife telling his wife she didn't like to see him out there running around with his shirt off, because Correa had ripped it off once before. People admitted that, and it was all about the tattoo. I'm guessing you guys saw this meme in which somebody said he finally got to the bottom of Altuve's tattoo, and they showed a little bit of his jersey where you could see the top half, and he had photoshopped the MVP trophy on there.
That's actually, that was
hilarious.
That's one of our listeners, Michael Schwab. You can follow him on Twitter at MichaelSchwab13. He's been fighting the good fight, John.
Yes,
this
yeah.
Michael Schwab, who used to be a producer.
He's verified.
For a sports media thing. But he and a few other people have been kind of tearing down some of these conspiracy theories, including going back to 2015, John. There are all these examples of Altuve, after walk-off hits, having his jersey ripped off by his teammates, or his teammates trying to rip his jersey off and him holding it tight because he doesn't like it, you know? Like, so it's kind of a game that they'd been playing for a while. And for all the people that would say, wow, why would he even think to not want his jersey ripped off? There's all kinds of logical reasons why he would be thinking, these guys are going to try to rip off my jersey. And this was obviously predates when Carlos Beltran was there. We're talking going back to 2015. And all I'm going to do, John, I'm going to keep putting that stuff out there, because I don't care what they say about 2017. I almost don't even care about what they say about the team in 2019, except that I need people to understand that Jose Altuve was not participating in this stuff.
People don't want to hear the facts. And like, I think it was Jeff Passan was in the dressing room and wrote a whole thing about Altuve being shirtless, and I'm thinking that's what guys do in dressing rooms. I've never been in a dressing room where everybody wasn't shirtless, but that's the way it is. People just pounce on it, and they don't want to know the facts, and they think, you know, if you try to tell them the facts, you're an apologist, and they don't want to hear it. But I'm glad there's a lot of people putting good stuff out there. And then, you know, what will it be like if they actually were to win the World Series this year? What would people say?
Oh, it'd be incredible. John McClain joining us. He is in Fort Myers, Florida. And, John, you mentioned you've spent some time at Red Sox spring training. The Red Sox punishment is set to come down here sometime in the next several days, before the end of next week, according to sources. What's the chatter like around Red Sox camp with the punishment coming out? And do you think that the Red Sox punishment coming out is going to deflect any of this from the Astros, or are the Astros the face of this thing?
So the Astros are the face of this thing, and people, if some people, if you say, well, when were they cheating? They don't know. You know, they think they're just cheaters. And so they're worried. Red Sox fans are worried. I saw Tim Kirkjian of ESPN, who's one of the most respected baseball people in the country, said that his sources at the league office tell him their punishment is not going to be nearly as severe as the Astros punishment. So there'll be a lot of Astros fans who'll be upset about that. Thing that we'll never know is who used it, who benefited. Remember, I saw a video of Gattis early on. You could hear the banging, and it's a breaking ball, and he still missed it. Mm-hmm. And I remember Mike Trout this week said, man, I'd like to know what pitch was coming. Well, you didn't know what pitch was coming. You knew fastball or breaking ball, and there's a lot of different breaking balls, and you would still have to hit it. And if it was as bad as everybody said, wouldn't they have all hit over 300? But it's not – I think something that I've thought about, because my friends have brought this up to me, and I'm sure you guys have heard this too, fans that go on the road ordinarily proudly wear their Astros gear. Are they going to be in danger of fans, you know, especially drunk fans, starting fights, insulting? What about Yankee fans when they come to Minute Maid? You know, are they going to be loaded for bears, so to speak, and they're going to be extra security in the stands? Will there be extra security in the Astros dugout? Those are things that only time will tell. But I think this could get really ugly once the season begins.
Oh, John, I am honestly, I was looking online yesterday. I'm getting as much Tequila Sunrise gear as possible. I'm going to be, I don't like wearing baseball caps. I'm going to get an orange cap. I'm going to have the loudest, most obnoxious Astros t-shirt every time I fly.
Running Game has new haters gear coming out in the next week or two.
I worry that, oh, really? Oh, okay, yeah. Something about the haters. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know who? Adam Silver, that clown fool, he tweeted, hey, am I to assume that if I see anybody wearing Astros gear and they're not in Texas or one of the bordering states, that they're wearing it ironically? So Adam Silver, and now you can see why this guy botched the election last time. Like, Adam Silver.
Oh, Nate Silver.
Or Nate Silver, excuse me, not Adam Silver. Nate Silver.
Why did Adam Silver?
Nate Silver tweets this out. Nate Silver, who, like, apparently thinks that, you know, us yokels down here in Texas don't travel outside of the South. Like, yeah, every time I fly through New York, honestly, I hope people try to fight me. Yeah. I'm going to wear all the damn Astros gear I can. I might go to more road games this year than I ever have in my entire life. Yeah. I'm getting to the point now where I'm so sick and tired of it, and I'm so sick of these clowns in L.A. acting like liking your baseball team means that you've co-signed for murder.
Yeah.
I say screw them all, John. Yeah. Screw them all. I'm getting tattoos. I might get a face tattoo. Big old Astros star.
I don't think drugs would pick on somebody your size. I'd love to see you go to the Rangers' new ballpark, where I'm going to go when they play there, and see what the reaction is. Because Rangers games, you'll have from several hundred to 2,000 or 3,000 Astros fans there every time they play. And I can't wait to see what that's going to be like. And of all the teams weighing in, the Rangers, who hate the Astros the most, and vice versa, I haven't seen, unless I've missed it, anybody from the Rangers weighing in on this controversy.
John, since you haven't been asked a football question in seemingly decades, since it's all been baseball for you, since you've been there.
Please ask me a football.
I'm going to ask you a football question, and it's going to be this. Let's stick with the cornerback position, because Bradley Roby, of course, is a free agent. There are a whole bunch of other free agents out there. There's also a potential trade for Darius Slay. If you had to pin it down, Do you have a favorite in the clubhouse for who might be the cornerback that the Texans sign, either as a free agent or by trade this year?
Well, I'm guessing they would want to stick with what they know, and if they were going to pay big bucks, it would be to keep Romy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And that would make the most sense. He's 27. I think he'll be 28, but they know him, and he knows the system.
John, is there – when I'm sure you saw the reports about the availability of Darius Slay from Adam Schefter yesterday. Did Trader Bill immediately pop into your head when Darius Slay was posed as a possibility for, quote-unquote, multiple – I got to imagine multiple teams includes the Texans, who the Lions have talked to about this.
Well, I'd be surprised if they were to trade for a guy, because they don't – what are they going to trade? Their two this year?
Yep.
They got their two and their three, and they'll have – some compensatory picks, and they don't have a one or two next year, so I don't think they'll be trading for anybody. They'd be more likely to sign someone.
I'm just thinking about the draft party, like the day two draft party.
It's going to be Saturday late afternoon during the sixth round is when it's going
to
start.
They would have to bust their ass. You know what? Cal would have to spring for sending the private jet up to pick up Darius Slay and having him at the draft party.
Yes.
At least. Like you'd have to have Darius Slay there make an appearance at the draft party. Okay, John, let me ask you this then. Okay, the pie in the sky dream would be, would Trader Bill or would he ever get super aggressive and go after Byron Jones and pay him whatever he's going to be making?
That would be interesting because he's one of the top free agent corners on the market, and Jerry Jones has enough money issues with Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and then Jones. One of those guys is not going to be back. And so I don't know what they think about in their system compared to the way the Texans play. I think O'Brien and his pro personnel staff and Matt Bags are going to play director of player personnel. If they're going to spend big money on a free agent, that guy's got to be able to fit in with what they do. Sometime you'll see, and I go back to Jonathan Joseph and Nnamdi Asamoah, who's now an actor on Broadway. You know, it came, the Texans were in it with Philadelphia, and then Rick Smith, one of the best moves he ever made, he told Asamoah's agent, you know, he said, look, we've made an offer, take it or we're going after Jonathan Joseph. So they went for Joseph and got Daniel Manning as well, two guys that contributed to their first playoff season and on. And then Asamoah bombed out with Philly after he'd been so great with the Raiders, and now he's on Broadway and J. Joe's still playing.
You know what, I'm glad you brought that up. That is one of the maybe more unheralded best moves in Texans history by a general manager, was like Rick Smith. For all that I've criticized Rick Smith, one of the things that I've always been very complimentary of him was just the restraint to not go after the hot item on the market, Nnamdi Asamoah. And Nnamdi Asamoah, he was such a unique skill set player. You know, I think if you had put him in the Seattle scheme for Legion of Boom, or if he'd gone to the right scheme, it would have been a whole different issue. But he just was a guy that needed to use his length and needed to use his physicality, and teams weren't using him that way. I would feel a lot better about a guy like Byron Jones, a guy I feel like, okay, his skill set transfers. You can plop him down into any defense and you'd be all right.
I do believe this. History shows that if you go after a cornerback in free agency who's 30 and you give him big bucks, odds are you're not going to get your money's worth. And I agree, Byron Jones is still young. If I'm going to spend a lot of money on a corner, it's going to be a guy his age and not a guy that's already on the other side of 30. And he's going to be a hot property. There's a lot of teams out there with a lot of money to spend. And it just depends on what the Texans do with Watson and Cunningham and Tunsil to see how much they spend in free agency.
It's John McClain. He's brought to you by HornSolutions.net. John, continue to enjoy Florida. We'll look forward to catching up with you when you're back in town. Safe travels.
Hey, guys, thank you very much, as always.
All right, keep fighting the good fight.
John McClain. Yeah, that's right. Keep fighting for Altuve down there, John.
A bunch of people piling on him just because he's short. This is nothing.
Who, McClain?
No, piling on Jose Altuve.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Short shaming.
They're acting like, oh, well, he's the best player they've had, and he's short, so he must be cheating.
You were talking about the Texans draft party. They should just make it like a Laramie Tunsil, this is your life. That's what they should do. Since that's what they traded all these picks for. It should be a Laramie Tunsil roast. That'll be the draft party.
It would start early.
Jonesy said, hand out souvenir gas masks.
It would be scheduled to start at 8 a.m. We'd start it at 8 p.m. We had started at 7:59 and 59 seconds p.m. Right. Just a little early. Little before the snap.
That's
count.
Right. That'd be great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.